The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And joined in studio by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, there was an interesting case during the week where a driver who was caught using a mobile phone ended up getting off, effectively.
Yeah, a
24-hour ban instead of a six-month ban. Explain.
Yeah. So two things happened here. Firstly, the judge is probably making the last use of a legal loophole which has been identified and is about to be plugged. And essentially, if you turn up in court and this penalty point offence might be the one that pushes you over into disqualification, you can essentially throw a sob story at the court, sincere or otherwise, and the judge has it at his discretion to use an obscure section as an unintended consequence of the law and essentially give you a short ban that doesn't count for penalty points. So instead of getting your 6 month driving ban because your points total hits 12, you instead get a 24 hour driving ban and it doesn't count for points. So essentially no punishment there.
And this is going out the window. There'll be no more of this. When?
Well, the law has been passed to plug that loophole. It just now needs to be commenced. So it's, you know, there's a little bit of regulatory work and then the minister has to sign off on it. But the work there is, if you like, 95% done, just needs to be completed. But until it is, judges can still apply this obscure, unintended clause and essentially let people off.
Now, you can imagine there could be all sorts of stories before the court, many of them very genuine.
Yeah.
But the whole point of possibly losing your license is the deterrent effect.
Yeah.
And if you take that away, then there's no deterrent.
Yeah. And particularly for something like phone use, because phone use is definitely worsening. We know it's a huge cause of collisions and problems out there. And it's actually very difficult to detect. It's usually, you know, caught red-handed, literally, and directly witnessed by a Garda.
Or after a terrible accident, they look at the phone and they realise at the moment of the accident, someone was on the phone.
Yeah, so when something catastrophic happens, you can reconstruct it forensically. But obviously we want to prevent collisions, not just act after they've happened. But for the casual phone user, which is getting worse and worse and worse, it's very difficult for the law to detect and punish them. So it is disappointing and not what the Oireachtas intended when a person can essentially give a story to the judge and walk out of the court. So it's disappointing that loophole exists, particularly for phone use.
And there's some data from the World Health Organization suggesting that people using mobile phones while driving are much more likely to have an accident.
Yeah, and this is very well researched now. Now, sheer common sense tells you you're more likely to have an accident. But in fact, the data and the meta-studies show that you're about four times more likely to be involved in a crash if you're distracted by a mobile phone versus a normal driver. So that's a huge discrepancy. They've also more or less concluded, they kind of put the jury to bed on this, that hands-free is essentially no better than holding the device in your hand. In our law, hands-free is fine. You're allowed to engage in a hands-free telephone call.
I mean, the argument is, look, I'm talking to my grandfather in the back seat. What's the difference between talking to a phone that's hands-free than talking to a passenger in the back seat?
And it has been literally comprehensively proved that it is different. It's different fundamentally because it's about cognitive impairment and cognitive distraction. You're distracted by the conversation. The passenger is actually sitting in the car. They can see the road context as well. So it's a much easier conversation for your brain as the driver. So, and this is not just sort of an opinion. It has been empirically proved. Now, in our law, we're not banning hands-free. And to be honest, I think it'd be very, very difficult practically to do so. But it's poor driving practice and it's against everybody's advice. And certainly for employers, for example, you should never call one of your people when you know they're driving. You should never force them to engage in a mobile phone call.
And yet, we've just got an order from the grocery store down the road from the one where you're at or driving from now. Pop in there.
It happens all the time. And sometimes it's a really simple message and you kind of have to deliver it. Like, there's no need to go to Mullingar. It's been cancelled.
Yeah.
Now, if the guy's kind of at the Red Cow roundabout, he's going to want to get that information before he reaches Mullingar.
The possibility of using technology, AI, you know, if you have a mobile phone and you've got Google Maps or whatever on your phone, the phone is aware that you're moving and moving at a particular speed.
Yeah.
So maybe the phone just doesn't take a call when you're over 30 kilometres an hour?
Well, there definitely are technical solutions you can apply. And in fact, one of the American studies that showed that phone use is getting worse actually uses phone network data as well as other data to demonstrate it's happening more often. So I think the network providers and phone manufacturers could do more. A driving mode, for example, that limited certain notifications. But we have to be realistic. I mean, if you're driving in your car and the phone rings and it's your wife, the call is going to be answered. It could be an emergency. You've got to be realistic about this. And if you're trying to have a setting that won't let that message come through, people won't use it. Mm. They'll disable it. They'll work around it.
And it's not just drivers.
Oh, no. I mean, drivers have the greater responsibility because they can do the damage. But anybody in towns and cities will tell you, pedestrians are an absolute scourge. Twice in my career, I've been knocked off my bicycle path, which is not bad in 30 years, and I was never hurt. But on both occasions, including relatively recently, it was somebody staring at a mobile phone who just stepped straight out in front of me. And I've seen bus drivers have to react like fighter pilots when somebody blunders across. So this addictive hypnotic device, which is now being designed to be more hypnotic and to capture more of your attention, you know, it's not so bad when you're doom scrolling on the couch at home, but when you're trying to cross a street in a busy urban environment, or when you're driving a car, it's an absolutely crazy technology.
This is a message for the new Road Safety Authority in whatever form it takes. This is one of the areas that you need to get tough on and advertise and, get on social media alerting people on their phones to the danger of the device in their hand.
Yeah, in a sense, we know it's bad, but we now know that it's getting worse. And when you're dealing with drink driving, you know what alcohol does. We're not facing a situation where alcohol is becoming worse. Its effects are worsening. But that is, in a sense, happening with these mobile devices. As I say, all of the content, we're getting more of it. And it's very cleverly designed to be just the sort of thing that holds your attention. So lethal while driving.
Another topic we want to talk about, there will be increases in the cost of a driving licence and a learner permit and the NCT.
Prices across the RSA's province, if you like, are all going up in January. In the case of the NCT, to be fair, there have been no price increases for 12 or 13 years. So you've got to be a little realistic about that, inflation that's happened, etc. Most of them are going up. The basic NCT goes up a fiver. The interesting one, there's pro rata increases for similar services. The interesting one is that the cost of an NCT retest goes from 28 to 40, which is a bit punchy and a bit more punitive. And that's deliberately designed because an awful lot of people don't bother preparing for an NCT. Mm. They just turn up, take the fail report and only fix what the fail report says.
But if you go to your local garage, your DIY garage, and you say, will you give me a pretest? It could cost you far more than the retest.
Yeah, so it makes more sense for me with a 10-year-old car to say, Asher, let it do the test, and if it fails, they'll tell me exactly what's wrong. And that behaviour, which you can understand from the punter's point of view, but that actually wastes a whole load of capacity in the NCT system. No-shows are a scourge. So a little bit of financial punishment or disincentive to the no-show phenomenon probably does make management sense.
I'll read some of the texts. Could anyone explain to me what's the difference between using a mobile phone and navigating those modern tablet-like controllers in most, if not all, new cars today?
Yeah.
Car manufacturers need to return to physical switches and controllers when it comes to vehicle operation. That's from Johnny Woods in Middleton. I was recently in one of our local courts and I was dismayed with the judge who issued a small fine to an individual with multiple charges for bad driving. Some judges are not taking road safety seriously, in my opinion, and those judges should be called out. That's from Rob. And another one, what's the difference between a mobile phone and somebody drinking a cup of coffee? The latter is also dangerous in the car. That's from Paul and Gordon.
Well, you can be prosecuted for drinking a cup of coffee if it constitutes careless driving, but it doesn't cognitively impair you. And that's been demonstrated, proved, and that is much, much more distracting than any of the other things that you might do while not concentrating while driving. The coffee doesn't deliberately cause distraction. Your phone literally deliberately causes distraction.
If you end up with a coffee in your lap, that's a bit of
a distraction. Absolutely. I mean, again, we've no law that says you're not allowed, for example, smoke a cigarette while driving. But if you're fumbling with a box of matches while going around a roundabout, holding the steering wheel in your knees, you know, obviously that's careless.
Well, this listener is even more draconian. nearly collided with a car driven by a woman exiting a shopping centre car park onto a main road, a mobile phone clearly in her left hand, with an articulated lorry approaching from the other side. A 3-month driving ban and a €500 fine for a first offence using a mobile phone while driving.
Yeah, see, that's the school of thought that says when you catch somebody, punish them really, really severely. I don't think that's fair or proportionate. Much more important to catch a lot more people a lot more often and apply things like the penalty points, which is a fair system across everybody.
And finally, the message for motor manufacturers about getting back to switches and levers rather than touch screens.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much software in a car these days, and a touch screen is just not an appropriate interface for a driver, not when you have to concentrate
on the road.
Imagine
you're just trying to turn down the heat or up the heat or whatever, and you've got to interface with a series of menus.
You're trying to figure out where in the sub-menu this is or that is, and it's like looking at a laptop, and that's not the appropriate dashboard, if you like, for a car. So car manufacturers, just because you can put in clever bells and whistles doesn't mean you should.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Pat. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.